This is a great turnout for a last-minute Mass that we threw together at such extraordinary news this past Friday. So I want to begin by welcoming everybody here tonight and by thanking everyone for coming. And I do so again on behalf of the Archbishop. He wrote to the parishes about a week or so ago, a week and a half, and said, you know, this decision's coming down. We know it's going to land. We have an idea what it's probably going to say. And we want to be ready to have Masses and to have some holy hours, some time to pray, because this is such a monumental issue and so important for the nation, for the world, for humanity just itself in general. And so he said, when this comes down, please gather to pray. And so, true to his word, and I think we all agree it's a good idea, we put this on the calendar for tonight. So I thank you on his behalf, too. This is what he wanted us to do, and I'm really glad it was a great idea on his part, and he's exactly right, for reasons we'll get to in a second. Then also, I got an email maybe like an hour or two ago before the Mass began that the Archbishop is going to be having his own sort of special diocesan Mass in the similar mode of tonight, a Mass for Mercy, that's what this is. And it's going to be on Thursday evening in Brookfield at 5:30, St. Dominic's. So that's our first word about that. So you're welcome to come to that too. The whole diocese is invited Thursday, 5:30, Dominic's, Brookfield. Same thing, to pray as we are tonight. So know that that is open and welcome to everyone. So with all these things in mind, maybe for tonight anyway, for our Mass and for our brief little time of adoration afterwards, some things that we, I think, are praying for this evening, well, lots of things, obviously, right? I'll raise up three of them with the idea that, in fact, that everybody has lots on their hearts, I think, tonight. So I won't capture all of it, of course, but I'll take a stab at some things. First of all, first thing to pray for, and we do so in the context of the Mass, which is the most powerful prayer the Church has, right? The Mass is a prayer of thanksgiving. That's what it is. Eucharist means to give thanks. The altar is a place of gratitude. It's a place where gratitude is offered and expressed to God the Most High for blessings that he gives to us, his lowly little people. So first and foremost tonight, I do think that we are right to pray in thanksgiving for what happened on Friday with the landmark Dobbs decision that came down from the court in our world and in our nation. Consider this, for almost 50 years, almost a half a century, in this country, so many people, a lot of us here among them, have done all these things to try and reverse Roe versus Wade and to bring about a different mindset and a change of attitude and to try and protect the life in the womb and to minister to the mothers and fathers whose lives have been shattered by this awful part of our human experience, this thing called abortion. So all the marches for life in D.C., in the cold, shivering, freezing winters on the Mall in Washington, all of the time spent praying in front of clinics, in front of Planned Parenthood, all the fasting on January 22nd and the masses and the candles and the prayers and the vigils and the processions and the marches, all of the lobbying and the legislating and the voting and the back and forth of our political process for almost a half a century. That's a long time. That's a long time. So finally, on Friday, this amazing thing happens on June 24th, which on an ordinary calendar year is the feast of the birth of the child, John the Baptist, the herald of God's message of mercy, the herald of his truth. So on his birthday, and the Feast of Sacred Heart of Jesus besides, this rare combination in a calendar year when those things coincide, which happens so rarely, what does God do? He sort of blesses our whole movement with this little gift, you might say, that tells all of us, I was with you all along. Those who persevere to the end get what it is that is needed in life and in the cause for life. Roe is reversed. It's overturned. So I do think we have to, at least tonight, begin by saying to the Lord Jesus, thank you for what is an important thing, an important victory, and to offer thanksgiving for all of the efforts on the behalf of this cause, and for, frankly, the lives that have been saved through the Church's attempts to answer Roe v. Wade over the decades with pro-life centers, with ultrasound machines, with geranium sales, with baby bottle campaigns, with the Women's Care Center. I mean, we have just thrown all of our resources at the other side of this issue to try and raise up the awareness that this is so monumental and so critical. All that came over the last half a century. So God is to be praised for the fruits of the movement, for for the victory that it is in our hearts, I think should be full of joy at this moment. One. Two, that being said, this is hard, right? I mean, some of us predicted this. It has unleashed this fury of demons, right, around the whole situation, as we figured that it would. So not only are we grateful, and we should be, I think the second thing tonight to pray for with real fervent earnestness is for our nation, right? That's how we advertise this Mass and how the Archbishop is advertising it too. Because the reality is that we're very aware, watching the headlines and watching the social media and probably in arguments, I suppose, at home or on the dinner table or via text or whatever, we just know that this is an issue that even though the court has ruled, it's not settled. It's far from settled, right? It's far from over. And nobody likes arguing. Nobody likes conflict. And nobody wants to see our great land torn apart by all of the division and arguing frustrations that go along with this and other issues that these days are so, so difficult for us to wade our way through. So in our prayer tonight, we want to pray for the nation from a couple different directions, I guess. One, that we'll get the right answer, no? That this is important, that we know that life in the womb is sacred, that we know that motherhood is, that men and women need to be protected from all things that do violence and harm, not just abortion, but everything that attacks the person, right? And there's so many things around us that do harm to the person. So we want our nation to understand and to enshrine in law the things that protect the person as God has fashioned us and created us. Equal in his sight, beautiful in his sight, male and female in his sight, variety of races and nations and tongues in his sight. We want all that protected. And we don't want the pathway to get there to be bloody. That would not be the answer, no. So we want it to, I think, come about in a way that God will bless as an authentic pathway to the truth about who we are as a person and as a nation. So we want that. I also think, if I can say it this way, that we pray for a nation, we shouldn't be afraid of the debate. We don't like arguing, I guess, but the fact is America has argued about lots of things over our existence. We've had a civil war, as you know, and many other things along the way. The fact is, in a world, in a nation, in a democracy, in a place of ideas, there has to be arguments. There have to be debates, and we would be wrong to run away from that. For the sake of maintaining the calm, to not have the conversations, to not push the issue, to not say, well, wait a minute, there's another way to think about it. This is how hearts are won over, and it takes a long, long time. But we're wrong to run away from the arguing, thinking that it's not worth it. But the fact is, it is worth it. The truth is that the argument over this issue did not start in 1973 with a wrongly decided court decision. That wasn't even remotely the beginning. It doesn't go back even to the beginning of America. It goes back to the beginning of time. Here is where, for sake of needed perspective in what's going to be a really long, long road ahead of us, here is where the argument over this issue began. This is from the book of Genesis. God asked Adam and Eve, "You've eaten then from the tree which I forbade you to eat." The man replied, "The woman who you put here with me, she gave it to me, and I ate it." There is the argument right there. The Lord said to the woman, "Why did you do such a thing?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me into it, so I ate it." The devil at work right there. What does God say? The serpent is going to be banned. He will eat dirt. He says, "I'll put enmity between you and the woman." To the woman, God says, "I'll intensify the pangs of your childbearing. In pain shall bring forth children, yet your urge shall be for your husband, and he shall be your master." This is an ancient text. Here is where the argument started, the fall of men a long time ago, about the fact that in a fallen world, men and women cannot figure out, even to this day, how to respect each other in many ways, what life means, what it means to understand the politics of the give and take of relationships, of family life, of fatherhood, of motherhood. Genesis captures so beautifully just the mess, if you will, of men and women in a fallen world. And the whole ugly fact of abortion emerges out of a fallen humanity that does not rightly grasp what a person is, what respect is, what dignity is, what sexuality is for, how to treat each other. It's just this kind of ongoing, twisted sort of argument that we have to work our way out of one little twist and turn at a time across thousands of years. So it's not a new argument. It goes back to the dawn of time and the origins of us in the fallen state of the world. So what this tells us, since this is an ancient text, is that in the great sweep of human history in our world and in America, as we pray tonight for our nation, we're praying for a long, long argument. It's not going to go anytime soon because it's been with us since the beginning. And the perspective should help us understand not to be afraid of the difficult work that is ahead. It shouldn't surprise us if there's an argument. There was one in the Garden of Eden a long time ago over almost the same topic. So with it, with the issue we are, we will be, and we will fight it out until the end, because that's what God wants us to do. So we pray in thanksgiving for the victory. We pray for our nation that we'll get down to the right answer, and we do so with the perspective that it's not going to happen by next Friday. It's going to take a long, long time. And we're in it for the long, long haul, because this is fallen humanity. And fallen humanity argues about important, important topics. And this is very important. Last thing to pray for among a million others, right? And it's related to the second point. I think that we pray, I do too, we all do, for the conversion of hearts and for a culture of life. And by that, I'm not talking about the quote-unquote other side of this issue. I'm not saying that by conversion of hearts, I'm going to pray for all of the quote-unquote bad people who are on the other side of Friday's decision. That's not exactly what I'm trying to say. The reality is that if we're ever going to create a culture that truly respects what a woman is, what man is, what motherhood is, what fatherhood is, what life is in the womb, that protects it and welcomes children as the beautiful gift that they are, if we're going to make a world like that, everyone's heart has to be converted, mine and yours. There's no exceptions. Because it brings about things like abortion is a mindset and a world and a system that has all of these things in the mix of it. It's not just about abortion. It's about social pressures and economics and consumerism and employment practices and how we handle insurance and how we handle arguments at home and how we deal with poverty and how we deal with the children in our world who come about in unusual and often unplanned circumstances. And everybody in this room, in our own kind of way, contributes to a society that either welcomes or pushes children to the side. So the whole conversion of hearts thing is my heart and yours. For every moment we've ever disrespected each other as husband and wife, man and woman, all that has to be wiped away. For everyone that we thought that a child was inconvenient, that has to be wiped away. The whole culture needs converting, not just the quote-unquote other side. So this is what God wants of us, right? The court decision, victory that it is, important thing that it is one little chapter in the long sweep of God's project to take the human person and change us to undo this mess of Eden from a long, long time ago. That is never done. We can never stop praying for the conversion of our hearts. Never, ever, ever, ever. So we all want a culture of life, and it starts with you and me looking at ourselves, saying, how have I contributed to its degradation? And we all have in a variety of ways, me and you. So all this is on the table on the altar tonight, right? So the mass setting is for God's mercy. What a gift his mercy is. He looks at the whole mess of us and says, you know, humanity is still worth continuing. I still love you. I'm still crazy about you. I love life. I love the new generation that's to come. I love tomorrow, God says, the promise of new birth. And he says to all of us, for all the ways you've messed this up, I forgive you. I wash it away, and I start you over anew so that you can pursue the truth with wholehearted devotion and love and eagerness and dedication, knowing that I'm behind you, God says, and you're going to get this with my grace, with my power, my revelation, my truth. Thank God for his mercy, first and foremost, for all the ways that we have gone off the pathway to bring about the degradation of the person in human history. The church says life is beautiful, it's from God, and tonight we stand on its side, knowing that standing on its side means having our hearts changed to see it for the beauty that it truly is. In thanksgiving for our world, for our nation, for the long fight ahead, the conversion of hearts, for culture of life, for all these things we pray, for all these things we pray. Place all these things on the altar, hand it to God, and trust that he will bring about the victory in the end, in the way and the timeline that he knows and he desires.